buy one, get one for a dollar at McDonald's. Or as we like to call it, the can't have just one deal. Mix and match a sausage biscuit, sausage McGriddles, McChicken biscuit, chicken McGriddles, or crispy hash browns. Want two sausage biscuits? Buy one, get one for a dollar. Want a sausage biscuit and hash browns? That's cool too. Choose more of what you love. Buy one, get one for a dollar at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
But we are packing up here. All right, who else do we have rolling on in? And there's EQA. How are you? Mike Gerst, welcome to the chat room. Thank you for joining us. Rooted in Gorgeous Sacredness, the gorgeous and talented Kara McIver. Get some Reiki from her, everyone. She's got good Reiki. Very good Reiki. Joshua S., Media Fox, Jose, good to see you guys. Sam Faz, thanks for joining us. There's Sensational Sherry, and we're going to continue on. Bassmaster, how are you? Lazarus, how you doing, man? We're good to have you here. We got a fantastic guest tonight in UFO Jane. See, there she is. There she is, everyone. Yeah, she likes a good wave every now and again. She does. And yeah, we're going to have you on here in about 28 seconds. We're going to go to the intro, make things happen. Starlight, Star Bright, you are the first star I see tonight. Alien Critter, good to see you. And we're going to keep on rocking. Remember, a good way to support this show is through the Super Chat. If you're new here, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button, ring the bell, because we are here 7 days a week for your lovely entertainment. Thank you to all the veterans who are tuning on in. We love you here, and you always have a safe home here at Spaced Out Radio. To all our regulars, get your horns up. Let's rock. From the mountains of central British Columbia to you listening around the world, this, my friends, is Spaced Out Radio. I am your host, Dave Scott, sitting in the captain's chair of SOR headquarters. We welcome you to tonight's show on our terrestrial affiliates around North America, digitally on TalkStream Live, Revolution Radio, and KPNL. All of our archives are free. Just go to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. You can follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Tonight's show is brought to you by Chive Charities. Help make the world 10% happier by visiting Chive Charities today. You can find them on our website. Since 2012, Jane Kyle, otherwise known as UFO Jane, has documented over 1,000 UFO sightings in her home state of Texas, and counting. Even after all these years of research, she still has more questions than ever, loves interviewing UFO experts and witnesses. Jane has been featured in local and international media, including Austin American Statesman, San Antonio Express News, Fox 7 in Austin, the CW show Mysteries Decoded, and many more. Jane has a journalism degree from the University of Texas in Austin, so you know her and I are going to get along very well with those journalism backgrounds, but I am so glad that she's here because she is one of the many bright talents in the field of ufology that you should pay attention to. UFO Jane, pleasure to have you on Spaced Out Radio for the first time. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to be here. This is awesome. It's very late here, but it's like extra. I feel like to do a show, it feels to me like coast to coast AM. Well, vibes.
We try.
Because it's almost midnight here. So.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here. And you know what? Anytime I get to talk UFOs, I absolutely love it. It's so much fun. It's such a great topic. How did you end up getting started in this weird field?
Yeah. My story, I think, is different than most people. And even though, well, I'm a woman, it was a man that got me into the subject. So I mean, was just a normal person And I graduated from college. You know, I did. I had a journalism degree. So I was doing a lot of different writing and, you know, even about fashion and celebrities and things like that. And I met a guy. I started dating a guy. And he just told me everything there was to know about UFOs. You know, this is well before they were called UAP. And he had just grown up reading books about it. I mean, this was back when the internet wasn't so censored and you could really fall down the rabbit hole. So that's pretty much what happened, is I just fell down the rabbit hole. And once I realized, okay, you know, UFOs are real, and not only that, but they were actually being seen, like, in Texas all the time. And there was certainly no national mainstream media covering it. And definitely, and only a little bit of local media coverage. So, you know, it's like, I had the journalism degree, I like to write. There was no topic that was more fascinating than UFOs. Like, that, you couldn't go back to writing about fashion or movies. That was another thing I did. I reviewed movies. I couldn't go back to that after, you know, finding out about aliens. So I just started blogging about it. And eventually people started sending me their reports, and, you know, we're here today. So that's my story.
So for you, as you started to take this seriously, were you much like me that when you first got involved, you didn't realize there was this massive UFO world on the internet?
100%. Yeah, I took it completely for granted, and I had no experiences or sightings of my own. I didn't grow up in a military family like some people, a lot of experiencers or witnesses do. I found out over the years, I didn't hear stories growing up of, you know, weird UFOs or things that people saw, barely even ghost stories. So that wasn't my reality at all. I was always really curious and open-minded, and I feel like I did quite a bit of exploring online and investigating and things like that. So it's amazing to think how buried the UFO topic really was. You know, but then once I found it, it was just, yeah, I mean, I haven't stopped digging.
For you, I first learned of you about 3 years ago, really, when the whole UFO world exploded due to the To the Stars Academy and the New York Times article. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you fall on that. You know, there was some good that came out of that, and mainly it was the coverage on social media and on the mainstream media that really pumped us up for this. So when you started gaining a name for yourself and gaining traction, and I like to call you one of the young guns, even though, you know, you've been in the field a little bit longer than most of them. How do you look at the way ufology has changed in the last 3.5, almost 4 years now?
Mm-hmm. It's been a super wild ride. So I started blogging out about this pretty much right out of college. And then I started TexasUFOSightings.com in 2012. So I started doing things anonymously because I didn't really feel comfortable being a public persona and associating UFOs with my family or friends, you know, my namesake or anything. Because it didn't take much math to realize I was covering something that they, you know, didn't want me to cover. There was a big media blackout on this. So what was I doing? And it was interesting, of course, and fun, but it was a little bit nerve-wracking. So in 2017, when the New York Times article came out, it was really almost overnight, UFOs were this official thing that the government acknowledged and was publicly, you know, wished to investigate, and suddenly it was all legitimate. And I think that I actually went public with my name maybe just like a year before that. So it was good timing, because I was just put on the spot with the journalist, you know, on the phone. And so finally, and then, you know, made an Instagram a little bit after that. So, I mean, so long story long, it went from, you know, me wanting to be anonymous, just like a lot of the witnesses that reach out to me, to, okay, yeah, I can do this openly. This is not so scary anymore. So I think that's a really big deal, especially if you think of the perspective of witnesses or military witnesses who now are being encouraged to report anomalous things that they see. Whereas before, not that the stigma is not still there, but there was a really strong stigma and, you know, maybe a visit by the Men in Black, or you're threatened or something. So I think that's probably the most positive and most dramatic impact of all the news and disclosures. Really, basically December 2017 and post.
What changed about the way you looked at UFOs after December 2017?
So I don't know that anything changed much about how I looked at them. It was more just affirmation of a lot of what I already, you know, presumed to be true. So I think it was more, I would say one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, that I decided to pursue this topic rather than blogging about fashion or celebrities per se, safer topics, and technically kind of easier to get clicks. It really wasn't, believe it or not, to prove if aliens were real or like to meet an alien one day or like convince people or to I did want to inform and educate people, you know, of everything I had learned, but it was more so, well, you know, definitely there's going to be more news about this in the future. So it's really important, you know, yes, to inform myself and then inform others ahead of all this news, but really it was more so motivated of like wanting to vindicate witnesses and then also wanting to just kind of prepare myself and others for those big news stories so that it wasn't like a scary thing or a stressful thing and it could just feel like a natural thing. And so I think for me, it wasn't so much that things changed for me as it more was like, okay, a green light, you know, a checklist item, you know, that I've been hoping for. Okay, you know, finally we have some mainstream news, you know, about UFOs, essentially. And so it was like, okay, green light. Now this, we can take this to the next level now. This is chapter two of reporting. And I guess now we're hitting maybe chapter three pretty quickly here.
No, I definitely hear you there. You know, one of the things that I have noticed about ufology is, especially over the last few years, the older crowd who has been here for 20 plus years, maybe 20 to 50 years, you know, a lot of them really don't have time for the new people coming in and really kind of brush them off. The newer crowd really looks at that and basically says, well, screw you guys. We're going to do this on our own. And I think the younger crowd in ufology, maybe not by age, but I'm saying by experience in social media, has really taken this subject to trending levels on all facets of social media, especially UFO Twitter. You know, when you look at something like this wild animal that we call UFO Twitter, is it good for ufology? Is it dangerous for ufology? Is it a combination of everything?
Probably a combination of everything. And I guess it is what you make of it. My feed's pretty positive because I think I only really participate in positive feeds. At least I don't anymore, like go in and fight with people. You know, every once in a while, I will, when I know I'm in a calm state of mind, I'll go and I'll have fun in an ancient aliens debate or some kind of UFO debate. For the most part, for me, it's only a positive UFO Twitter. It's I see happy people and likes and, you know, positive comments. So I think if you have a really negative feed, maybe watch what you're interacting with and what you're commenting on. You know, that would be, and that's anything to come with disclosure. It's all going to be what we make of it. And then, Yasmin, as far as the younger folks go, or let's say the post 2017 New York Times crowd, right? The UAP crowd, maybe, versus the us old folks who still use the UFO term. I think it's amazing, and I think this is exactly what should happen, and there should be fresh eyes on it. And I don't think this topic is something to be possessive over, or even to claim to be like more of an expert on, because it's such a big, vague, broad topic that we're all like, you know, struggling to figure out. So yeah, I definitely think some people are feeling defensive and nervous that they're not going to get to have like the whole share of the story anymore, or the narrative. And, you know, that's true, because and it's not going to be just the new people on UFO Twitter. I mean, it's going to be the world. The whole world is going to be talking about this. Every podcast is going to be talking about this. So I would let that go as soon as possible. Because if people are feeling jealous or insecure about the newcomers, it's only going to get worse. So there's only going to be more newcomers every month, right? So just get used to it.
Why do you think there is so much anger in this field, on social media, on podcasts? Now, granted, you know, there's thousands of UFO podcasts out there. Really is thousands. And, you know, there's a lot of brilliant people in this field, and there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people out there who probably shouldn't have a microphone in front of their face. But nonetheless, free speech is free speech, and anybody can do what they want. But why do you think this topic, since the New York Times article, has really created a lot of anger in a lot of people, from the older guard right to the newer guard?
Well, it's on one hand, it's a really fun topic, good conversation starter. You know, you're looking at the stars. It can be very unifying around a campfire, sharing stories, talking about different cases on Twitter or whatever, or having like that podcast session where everybody's just, you know, on that.
This is the magic we've been waiting for. Calling us to celebrate as never before. The Walt Disney World 50th anniversary. Shimmering so iridescently, mere words cannot explain it. Nothing can contain it. Walt Disney World Resort calls us here. The world's most magical celebration is drawing near. Starting October 1st, join us and make the magic soar. Visit disneyworld.com/50 for more.
Wavelength or whatever. So you can think of the topic in that way of bringing people together, making you think outside yourself. Oh, what would I be like if I was an alien kind of thing? However, though, the realer it gets, I think the scarier it gets and the more serious it gets. And I just think it is a very serious topic. I mean, it's everything. It may or may not challenge different spiritual beliefs you do or don't have. Whatever the outcome is, there's a lot at stake. And so I think it's just challenging for people, and it's pushing their buttons. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, the hashtag I want to believe is key, because I think a lot of people want to believe a specific point of view, you know, that they already have, you know, like alien, you know, the Pleiadians. And if somebody is one of these believers, you can correct me on my pronunciation of the Pleiadians, you know, who want to believe that there's that they understand that species of aliens and where they're coming from and what their agenda is. And that can be very comforting for them, especially maybe if they've had an experience and they even remember talking to them, right? Like, I would certainly understand, you know, maybe having that perspective perspective and wanting to hold tight to it. Or, on the other hand, being just an up and down skeptic, and every single UFO can be explained by something kind of boring or man-made. People are just attached. They want to believe, you know, the outcome that they're thinking is going to happen. You know, they want to believe what they want to believe. And there's so many different theories out there. So it's just people get more and more attached to those theories rather than just like the fun campfire. It starts to get a little bit scary.
You know what it is for me is I don't mind someone questioning someone. Their credentials, where they worked. I think we need some healthy questions and some questions that may rattle some sabers a little bit for the supporters, whether it's Lou Elizondo, whether it's Bob Lazar, whether it's Chris Mellon or Grant Cameron or Richard Dolan or Linda Moulton Howe, you name it. Everybody deserves to be asked some pretty tough questions because, let's face it, in the small pieces of truth that we are getting, there is a lot of BS that surrounds everything. So for me, the way I look at it, I look at it that good questions, hard questions, and analytical questions are a healthy thing for us to try and solve answers. But there's a lot of people out there who are taking it, in my opinion, a little too far. You know, the word liar gets thrown out to all experiencers who've seen UFOs or had ET abduction. The word liar gets thrown out, whether it's Bob Lazar or Elizondo or whomever. I mean, we have seen a real influx in that very harsh criticism ever since we started thinking of getting the government involved, you know? So, I mean, how do you combat that negativity that is out there regarding the subject? Because for many of us, it brings us down.
Yeah, it's really hard to get away from because that's the legacy of UFOs. I mean, they're unidentified flying objects, since people could argue the only reason they're unidentified is because of the secrecy, not because, you know, some people would argue that we know exactly what they are and we have for years, right? And so, you know, project starting with CIA, maybe before, some people have theories that started before in the 20s, you know, wasn't in the 40s. So I don't think that you can get away from that. I think the only way to get away from that is actually to acknowledge it and confront it head on. And so, well, on one hand, yes, it's obviously, it's really extreme to just call everybody a liar on either side, right? Whether you're an experiencer or a skeptic or, you know, government intelligence or something like that. While that's, you know, I on really kind of every voice has to be heard right now. I don't know that we can get away from it because all of that is true. Really, nobody can be trusted. So, yeah, it's bad. I mean, I don't go around calling people liars and, you know, unless I would have evidence that they were lying. So I don't recommend that people do that. That's wrong to do. But I just don't know how you can blame people for being skeptical. And I think it would bother me much more if people were just eating up everything they heard and just assuming everything, you know, every witness testimony or intel from Lou Elizondo or opinion from Mick West, you know, whoever it is. I think it's better to be skeptical of it than just assume it's all true, because until all that we really can rely on is the evidence, which is pretty, it's amazing in one respect, but it's also super limited. So, I mean, it's just a lot of hearsay and he said, she said, until more and more, you know, actual evidence is disclosed. So we just have to be patient. And I know I rambled quite a bit there, but I do want to make sure to circle back to that. You know, what do we do about the lying liars, right? Or the legacy of that, right? Or the government secrecy of it. And I do think, and maybe it won't happen right away, maybe it will take some time, but we do have to confront it. We can't just keep pretending like Roswell didn't happen and just talk like, oh, the last 7 years of Navy UFO reports, that's the phenomenon. Because that's that's ridiculous. And if it is the phenomenon, then what are the odds that all these other events were not? So this is, but so it is one way or it isn't. And so I think there's a lot of like just tuning out of the dark history because it's just too much, right? And you want to trust your current, you know, government operatives, I guess. But we have to confront that. And so there has to be those conversations. And I know a lot of the old guard is now passed, you know, moved on to the next realm, right? So we can't really confront them. So, but we are still going to have to, and there's probably right. going to have to be some kind of amnesty or forgiveness process that we're going to have to go through.
Let's continue this talk because I think we're going to enter a real cool area for the next discussion right after the break. UFO Jane Kyle, 9 years researching UFOs out of the beautiful state of Texas. You can find her everywhere on Twitter, social media, Instagram, YouTube. She's everywhere. Worth the listen. We'll be right back on Spaced Out Radio. All right, we're clear. Remember, YouTube can hear us. Hi, gorgeous magic maiden. How are you? That was a good half hour. Solid radio right there.
Yeah, I was finding myself rambling, but that's usually may not be fun for the odd for that's you okay. guys, but I'm usually interested. That's what that means.
No, that's a good start. That's a good start.
Snakes on a UFO.
Well, let's go here. Let's see here. That's a good segue into the next one, into the next session. You kind of set that up beautifully. Going into the trust. The trust factor. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Going deep, dropping elbows right off the bat.
See, tweet about it again. I love the art.
That's Phil.
The Wayne's World.
Oh yeah, that was so John. Great. That's John Hudson who did that. That one may be his best one yet.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Mm-hmm. That's totally John Hudson.
In fact,
Hudson.
I need to like make sure to save that so I don't lose that because that's too good.
See, Carol loves your couch too. I said that earlier before the show started that I loved her couch.
That's so funny. Mm. I mean, I do too.
Hey, gorgeous Carol, how are you? Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. Good stuff right there.
Doing a little social media. Yeah, that's so funny. I've heard that about the couch before. It's like, sounds like I can never get rid of this couch. I'm going to have to keep it forever.
You definitely have to. That you know, you got to do the show from the couch.
Yeah, I want to do like some in person, you know, interviews. I'm sure there's tons of people, you know, in Texas I could talk to, but I feel like I could count them, you know, on both my hands, the amount of people kind of in the area that I could do interviews with.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be fun to start doing in person stuff. Just every once in a while, at least.
Hi, Coast to Coast Garage. How are you? That is an awesome name. I am Chad Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all Chad Smith around here. John says, thanks, Jane. You turned out perfect in that art. Your facial expression was perfect.
That's so good.
Deanna says that she loves the couch as well. Was about to say that. First thing I noticed. Yes.
I actually have I normally have a little alien pillow too, but the case is getting washed, so it'll return.
That's good. That's good. Who else has arrived here? Oh, Chad Smith. Carol named her kitten Chad Smith. That's kind of cool. Remember, you can go to our website quickly here. I'll share this. Don't forget, you can pick up your own Chad Smith t-shirt right here. Right there. You can wear your own Chad Smith wrench right there. All you got to do is go to spacedoutradio.com, hit on the shop button, and there you go. That's the way we do things around here. We'll get more swag up there very soon. It's all good. Big thank you to YJ, Andrew, and Apollo for the super chats. It's a great way to support what we do on this show on a nightly basis. And thank you to all the veterans tuning us in tonight. You always have a safe home here on Spaced Out Radio. And all our regulars, we're having fun with you guys again tonight. Keep it up. We got a great show. Here we go. Second half hour of Spaced Out Radio is now underway. My name is Dave Scott. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really do appreciate earning your listening ears. Want to remind you that if you've missed portions of this show or others, check out our free archives by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show. We continue on tonight. UFO Jane is here. Jane Kyle, she's been studying UFOs in the beautiful state of Texas for the last 9 years. She's a big part of what's going on in the new wave of UFO podcasting, broadcasting, YouTube, and social media. You can follow her on all the different outlets out there. Just look for UFO Jane. Easy to find. Jane, welcome back.
Hey.
Hey.
Felt like that was forever. I was so excited to get back into the conversation. It was such a bummer to have to pause it. So,
I know. I know. I blame our radio stations for that, but that's okay. Right before the break, you said something really interesting that, you know, a lot of the old guard is going to have to kind of change their way of thinking to this new type of ufology. When you say new type of ufology, what do you mean by that?
Oh, man. Yeah. So one of my guesses for why they, whoever they is, are okay with this disclosure train going, you know, and are pushing it along, right, kind of in the background, I guess, is because a lot of the old guard really isn't here anymore, right? So a lot of, again, that darker history of ufology that this newer New York Times gang, you know, is not really focused on, like Roswell and, you know, really all the old cases, right? Whether it's Phoenix Lights or abductions, you know, experiencer accounts, right? We're kind of just ignoring that history and focusing on things in the UAP report and these latest, you know, Navy, you know, military, you know, approved disclosures. So And that's okay, right? Because you do need to give it fresh eyes, right? And kind of start from scratch, right? And in a way, by just getting back to the basic nuts and bolts, you know, here's a video, let's break it down. In a way, you kind of are getting rid of that shroud of secrecy and that history, right? Because you're not letting it cloud your judgment. Let's just get back to this phenomenon. At the same time, though, the old folks like me are going to still be bringing up Roswell. I'm not going to forget about Roswell. I'm not going to forget about all these old cases and all these witnesses that were threatened or, you know, died with people, you know, not believing their story was true or died not ever believe being able to share their story. So I'm not going to shut up about it. And other people won't. And I think especially those who've had abduction encounters or experiences, they're really going to be a powerful voice in these coming years because they're not going to forget about their experiences they had.
And life can be overwhelming, but help is here. Gulfport Behavioral Health System is your treatment provider for mental and behavioral health issues. For nearly 40 years, we've helped adults, adolescents, and children as young as 4 find the coping skills to get back on track. We're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hope starts here. Visit GulfportBehavioral.com to learn more. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
Yeah, that's very much the old. I guess UFO believers, right? You know, from before. So I think we're all going to be part of this discussion together and it's all going to be necessary. And I think, you know, it's all the circle of life. We have this, you know, new ufology that we can just focus on these specific videos and this new, you know, Lou Elizondo, these new government representatives, and we can just say, trust that, you know, they do have our best interest in mind and do want the truth to come out over time and that they, you know, weren't involved in, you know, because they couldn't have been involved, you know, in the 1947, you know, decisions to make Project Grudge and Project Sign, right? And to make this a secret and to lie to people. So I think we do have this opportunity with this new group of people and these new cases to just start over again from scratch, be a little bit naive, I guess, about it, and just kind of pretend like this is happening for the first time. This never happened before. We need to do that exercise. But the history's not going away. There will be karma to pay from all of that. You know, it's not going anywhere and it will keep, I think maybe the hope, you know, maybe their hope is that can just be staggered over time, you know, in a manageable way, you know, that's safe for national security. If it's just more and more people, like more and more Lou Elizondo types, coming forward, sharing more and more evidence, saying sorry, you know, sorry we didn't share this before, and then the American people going, okay, yeah, you know, we forgive you. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Right.
But it has to happen.
Well, the old guard, when I got started in this 6.5 years ago, the one thing that I learned from the old guard was you can't trust anything that comes out of somebody from the alphabet agencies or the Pentagon or Washington. They've been covering this up for decades, and we can't trust a word they say. Then all of a sudden, Chris Mellon and Lou Elizondo show up, and we are treating them like demigods to the UFO world. And in talking to Lou
Elizondo, is strong.
And in talking with Lou Elizondo, he knows his role. with the UFO public doesn't quite enjoy being thought of as a demigod per se, even though that's the way people have him at the top rung of the totem pole. But do you think, or why do you think this newer group of ufologists that are very passionate about this subject have all of a sudden grasped a hold of somebody like Elizondo and said, "You are ours. We believe every word you are saying," when for so long, Lou was part of that group before TTSA in keeping this topic under wraps at the Pentagon?
Yeah, the disconnect is pretty amazing. I don't really blame new folks maybe coming into it, but I am surprised about some of the folks who've been in this world just as long as I have. That's been surprising to me. It's like, well, you guys should know better. And by the way, I am not anti Elizondo at all. Like
no,
I said,
I
think this
neither
is
neither am I.
Right? Yeah. Like it's a faith. All of this is a faith thing, right? Like so. When it comes to different researchers and witnesses that are sharing their stories and their opinions, it kind of comes down to just do you trust them or not? And that's kind of it. You know, like just in your gut, do you think they're, you know, have your best interest in mind? So it's not an anti-Elizondo thing at all where this is coming from. But what's really funny is I remember when Lou gave this speech to the UFO Congress. So this was right when things were getting started. Like one of his very early impressions he made upon all of us. And I remember it was quite a riling speech. And there was a lot of emotional appeal and kind of heroicizing, you know, of the UFO community, which that just bothers me a little bit when somebody's kind of speaking to me like that, because I feel like it's a little bit manipulative. So I remember that was like a big red flag. But it was a great speech, and it was like very much like inspiring. And it said, you know, he said all the right things, but he also said some really important things that I kind of never forgot during that whole, I guess, you know, years, you know, that he would speak afterward. As he said, you know, any UFO footage that is released by the government is edited for, you know, various reasons, you know, privacy being one of them. But essentially, like, you're not going to ever see, you know, a declassified, you know, video or photo that's not somehow edited, right? And of course, we know this. I just talked to one of the witnesses to the Tic Tac UFO, and he's like, the original footage is higher quality, but they, you know, they blur it, like they dumb it down, right? So he said that, and then he said, you know, footage is not going to be declassified unless, I don't remember the exact words, but unless somebody requests it to be declassified. So what I gathered from that was he was sitting on just like a pile of evidence that he couldn't really do anything about, like can't share with us. And it's just like we're getting these little just pebbles, you know, and there's just so much more. And so I remember that. And so I just vowed, and he just did the interview rounds. Like he was just interview after interview after interview. And so that also was like a big, I don't know if red flag's the right word, but it was something to note. It was noticeable to me. And so really, I listened to that first speech, and I didn't listen to any interview he did the year after year after year, because I was like, everybody else is going to listen to him, and I want to see what my perspective is like over these years if I don't listen to any of his interviews. And so I think that was a good choice, because I could really observe like a true, like, you know, if you go to a sports game, but you don't know like who the players are, you're like not invested. I didn't have that investment, you know, into him that so many people had. So I think I was able to stay objective. And then that said, I did finally talk to him and finally interview him. Actually, Lynn from Spaced Out Radio, she was part of that. Yeah. And it was a really awesome panel, and it was a group of women, and he got some pretty challenging questions. He answered them great. Wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like I had to send him questions before. You know, we asked whatever we wanted to. And then he shared it out, you know, on Twitter afterwards. So it was a good experience. So couldn't get, you know, couldn't really get, you know, the answers you really want to get. I mean, probably the most authentic answer that we got was when we were asking him if he liked mustard on his sandwiches, just kind of like not as a joke, Lerp the alien genuinely wanted to know. And that was like, I felt a real genuine moment. So I feel like if you can get Lou, like, talking about other things, you know, that are not UFOs, yeah, you see the human there, and I don't have this, like, creepy Men in Black feeling, you know, I don't, right? But at the same time, yeah, he's has intelligence, you know, he has security clearance. So, you know, you just have to take everything with a grain of salt of somebody that has access, you know, that's holding cards that you can't hold because you're, you know, just a regular citizen.
You got to, in other words, what you're saying is, look, this is the best we got right now. I'm going to put faith in this until faith tells me differently.
Well, I don't know what other option we really have right at this point. But yeah, I don't have any evidence or bad experiences, you know, with, you know, Lou Elizondo to think that he has bad intentions. You know, another really name that was thrown out a ton was Jeremy Corbell too. And I, you know, was with him at Area 51, you know, a few years ago, and so spent some time with him. And just saw how he was behind the scenes and how supportive he was of the UFO community. And it just seems like a really good guy. At the same time, yes, he absolutely is getting information, you know, from government sources as part of this broader plan that's bigger than him, right? So I think if you could just not, if people just cannot take it so personal and just recognize that we all have our different, you know, like parts of the pie, like we all have our different like information and things that we know, you know, from whatever research or intelligence we have, and we can just, you know, all put it together. So it's not at all, I'm not trying to bash Lou Elizondo at all. When I do say though, that the fanaticism around him was alarming. And I would say it really started with Tom DeLonge though. And I mean, Jeremy definitely, he has his haters too, but he also has his, you know, hardcore fans too. You know, good for him. but yeah, I mean, I think it actually really started with Tom DeLonge. People got real, I think that's when people really started to get super fanatical. And what do you know, is a rock star, right? So I think it triggered that, I don't know what you would call that. It's not mob mentality.
Oh, it was mob mentality. Let's be honest.
Groupthink, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where it really started, I felt like. I a Blink 182 fan, so, you know, no knocking Tom DeLonge by any means. So it was kind of players kept changing, you know.
I'll just zip up right there. I'll just zip up right there. No, you know what? I love Tom as a musician. As a ufologist, I never got on his bandwagon for a number of reasons. And you know, whether it was the pressless press conference that they held in Seattle when they introduced the TTSA team. You know, I remember in one of the first conversations I had with Lou was damn well surprised that we at Spaced Out Radio here, considering the size of our show, we know we're not the biggest, but we know we're not the smallest. And he was blown away to find out that we had 15 different interview requests declined, including one where we declined it because we were asked to provide questions pre-fold.
Oh, are you talking about Tom DeLonge?
And well, yes.
Are you talking about Tom DeLonge?
Yes.
Oh, well, I tried to do an interview to the Stars Academy. I can't remember. They gave me the runaround too.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a weird bait and switch where it's like I thought I was going to be able to get an interview and they're like, oh, no, you can only ask questions about this or something like that. I don't remember the details, but I got the runaround too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lou really seemed
yeah.
quite perturbed about that. Because like he told me, he's like, look, right. we have a bunch of people up here that the UFO community doesn't trust. And we need to use that support of the UFO community. And Tom didn't want to use the UFO community. Mm-hmm. He was like the anti-UFO UFO team. And yet here you are begging for that UFO community's money for your To the Stars Academy. I thought it was just, to this day, it just does not sit well. Look, I agree the TTSA did some very good things. They helped get this project off the ground and into the mainstream market and brought a lot of talented new faces to this field. But overall, I give them a failing grade. That's just me.
Well, yeah, I guess we'll just kind of see. I don't know. I think it's like a big, you have to look at what words I'm looking for. I guess you have to wait until we have the outcome of disclosure and all the history has completed, right? And then we can go and see how many points we give to each like team player who passed the football disclosure, you know, along. 'Cause it was obviously like a super instrumental, their role at the time, but we have to keep in mind that in the background, there are forces that are allowing this to happen. It's not like a rock star is able to just come out and say, yeah, UFOs are real and the government's investigating them and start prompting all this to happen unless somebody's allowing this to happen, unless maybe this was going to happen no matter what and it was just a matter of like selecting the right influencer to, you know, influence the youth specifically, right? So this is not, I don't think this is too far down the rabbit hole or anti-Tom DeLonge at all. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask you a question about that. Do you buy the Tom DeLonge narrative that he was the one that set up this entire project to bring this out?
Well, that's what I'm right about to share. So I read all the WikiLeaks emails, okay? So anything that had to do with UFOs or whatever. And so there was, you can quite document Tom DeLonge going back and forth, essentially with the Clinton campaign and Democrats about, you know, wanting to bring out disclosure and all that. And there was one really funny email exchange, though, where they're talking about how, you know, influencing the youth and all that. And he even refers to it. I don't know if it was him or one of the people working with him on the team now that it's been a little while. But I think the exact quote is our secret plan. So it definitely, the seeds were 100% there and planted with the help of Tom DeLonge in pre-2016 and going into the presidential campaign, right? Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. And it seems like, not to get like political or anything, but it seems like, you know, maybe Hillary Clinton was going to be the disclosure president and Tom DeLonge was going to help with, you know, be part of all that, right? And, you know, continuing his books and, you know, his documentary and stuff. And then Hillary Clinton didn't become president. The documentary didn't happen, you know, not long after. I mean, who was showing up on Joe Rogan? Jeremy Corbell, not Tom DeLonge anymore. And so it was just this, I mean, I don't know if I could say that any specific person has succeeded or failed. It's just like everybody's just, you know, has done, I guess, what they could, you know, with what they were given at the time. I mean, because you can really go back, you know, who's really responsible for just, you know, for all of this. We could go back to Linda Moulton Howell or, you know, Richard Dolan or, you know, all these, you know, people who've written books, you know, over the years. So I think it's hard. It's hard when you, you know, try to, you know, give people points and that way. But that's why I say they think there's forces in the background that are causing a lot of this to happen. I think people are naive to think it's just organically like, oh yeah, the New York Times, they just suddenly broke it. Suddenly in 2017, they never broke it before.
Yeah.
And that's why, that we're here today. Like, I just don't think that's the case.
Look, I feel sorry, and this is where I do, have a heart here. I know I'm very critical about DeLong and the entire TTSA story right from the beginning, but I honestly think that Tom deep down has been played quite a bit, for his popularity, right, for his social media, for his, his unyearning desire or his yearning desire to try and bring this story out one way or another. I just don't like the way he did it. That's the way I'm looking at it from a media standpoint. He may not have had a choice in the way it came out.
Right.
And I think a lot of people want to say, well, this was Tom's idea. This is Tom. Well, he's the face of the franchise. Then he makes a stupid comment or two on Joe Rogan, kind of gets put down the pecking order. And then Lou comes in and starts saving the day. And I feel for him that way, because I think in some ways he's been a UFO patsy and for a lot of people in this field.
Yeah. I think you're totally right. And I think we can say that about a lot of the people that, are talking and even witnesses, right, that are doing a lot of the rounds of interviews. Like, think if you're a witness, right, and you signed an NDA from something that you saw 17 years ago and you weren't allowed to talk about it, and now you are allowed to talk about it, and you're getting, interview requests, and you also know about compartmentalization and stuff because you work in the government. So, yeah, everybody really is kind of being used in this
one way or another
disclosure. Yeah, one way or the other, including us.
True. Jane, I'm going to get you to hold on right there because we are going to go to break here at the top of the hour. We have UFO Jane for another hour here on Spaced Out Radio. We're going to get into ufology's women. It's a growing trend among women, UFOs. Let's talk about it next. I am just going to take a bathroom break. I will be right back. I'm going to put you on mute, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Be right back, guys. right, I am back here. Just give me 2 seconds. All right. Put you there. Put you there. There you are.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good stuff. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah. This is... I can't believe a whole hour has already passed. It's nuts. And I'm not... Somehow I'm... And I'm... I mean, you know it's a good conversation because my body's not telling me to go to sleep, which I'd normally be asleep right now, but it's second wind.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun too. Thank you so much for doing this tonight.
I'm so glad that you invited me.
Well, we can do it anytime.
Yeah, I was talking about doing more in-person interviews and things, but short of that, I podcast, and it's like a nice excuse to kind of just like make friends and talk about interesting things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we got about 1 minute here. 1 minute. Making sure I haven't missed anything in the chat room. And I think we're caught up. All right, we got about 30 seconds. All right, I want to say a big thank you to YJ, Andrew, and Apollo for the amazing super chats. Once again, it is a fantastic way to support what we do on this show on a nightly basis because we are here 7 days a week for your entertainment. Thank you to all the veterans tuning on in and checking us on out. We love you and all our regulars who are in the chat room tonight. Much love to each and every one of you. Here we go. Get your horns up. Hour two starts now.
You're listening to Spaced Out Radio with Dave Scott. Follow Dave on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Facebook, Spaced Out Radio Show.
Hour number two of Spaced Out Radio is underway. How you doing? My name is Dave Scott. Really appreciate earning your listening ears wherever you are on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you to everyone tuning us in on our terrestrial affiliates around the world or around North America and digitally on TalkStream Live, Revolution Radio, and KPNL. All of our archives are free by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. The Desert Clam has set the password for tonight in the SOR Space Travelers Club. Zonarius. Zonarius is your password. Use it wisely, space travelers, as the clam sets the password each and every night right here on Spaced Out Radio. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show. We continue on tonight with our guest, UFO Jane. Jane Kyle is here. She has been investigating UFOs since 2012. She's got a great podcast out there on YouTube, and you can find it on any major podcast network. She is one of the faces and the bright faces of this new line of females in ufology. Now, this is something for a long time I have heard greats like Lorian Fenton and Melinda Leslie, Misha Johnson, and many others say that we need more females in the field. We need more ladies taking this subject, getting more of a voice coming in. And I really think since 2017 that we are starting to see that. We're going to get into that a little bit here. Jane, welcome back.
Hey. Yeah, 100%. There's a lot more company, that I have here. Now than in the old days. So yeah, I don't know what that means about us females. I don't know if it's planes, trains, and automobiles cliche. You know, little boys are just fascinated with, engineering and, you know, how a truck works. So maybe that translates to UFOs and like how a plane would work. I don't know what that is. But it's funny, like when you go to conferences and you talk to people, there doesn't really seem to be a difference between or noticeable ratio difference between the guys to the girls. I'll say when I look at like my online demographics, it's definitely more guys, unless you go like on Instagram, you know, it changes a little bit there. So it's kind of funny, but I don't know how much of that is real, you know, that there aren't women interested in ufology, but there's definitely this trend with at least the books that are written and a lot of the typical talking heads, you know, on the TV shows definitely have been, you know, the old white dude. And I mean, we owe a lot to them. Like, there's no hate on that. So many wonderful books and research that has been written and such, like, a legacy, you know, that we all have, especially with, you know, the new disclosures and stuff in this conversation we're having, right, about, like, the need to remember the history, right? So we don't, you know, need to knock that at all, I don't think. But I think it's super awesome to see more diversity and in the, on the actual like podcasts and on the TV shows, you know, the talking heads and in that format, instead of just attending the conferences and things like that. And the perspective is so necessary because, I mean, we're talking about aliens. We don't know. We need as many human perspectives as we can have. And not just women, but, you know, different races, different cultures. There's a huge language barrier that's separating a lot of this UFO conversation just in the world. So, you know, it's not even just a gender thing. I think that's probably true, you know, in any industry or topic benefits from a lot of diverse opinions. But I do feel like this is an especially universal one that everybody should be participating in. You know, everybody should be represented. So it's exciting to see. And I don't think it's been for malicious reasons that women, you know, haven't been included in the conversation. I've never been excluded on purpose or treated, you know, unfairly, you know, in pre, you know, 2017 December, it's more kind of accidental things, right? Like, so I know when I was anonymous and doing the Texas UFOs website, I would get emails, hey guys, which is just funny, like they would assume I was like a group of males, you know, that were like investigating, you know, together instead of, you know, one female. So it was just, there'd be like funny things, like nobody would ever assume I was a female, ever. The assumption was, I don't think one time did somebody like ask or, you know, and to be fair, it was anonymous. They couldn't know. So that's the only thing I experienced. And to me, you know, that's not malicious. That's just, you know, accidental.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, but I definitely think that time's over. I mean, look at all the shows out there and all the different faces and opinions and, yeah, those days are over.
And I think that's a good thing because for so long, the way I look at it, the women of ufology in yesteryear were basically almost like the mother hens to the experiencers. They weren't thought of as researchers going after, you know, yeah, the breakdown of craft or the propulsion systems or the technology. It was always about trying to take care and mother the experiencers that were out there. Whereas I think today we are seeing more women who have interest in the propulsion systems, in these, you know, high speed 90 degree turns. How does a craft go from 80,000 feet down to sea level in less than 1 second and not crash? You know, I mean, this is the stuff I think we're seeing a lot more of, and a lot more women asking those tougher, broader questions than we had in yesteryear, where it was like women were put in their place. Look, you deal with the experiencers. You deal with the ladies who mm-hmm. say they're getting their ovaries
scratched. Astrology. By the way, I don't know if any. I hope the audience is not hearing the echo, or you are. Are you hearing that,
no,
Dave?
I'm not.
Something has happened with our mics. The audience, I'm sure, will let us know. Hopefully, we're okay. I'll just assume we're good. But yeah, or like the consciousness or psychic, or it's always those types of topics, you know, that the women would speak to. Like,
Vrbo has private whole vacation homes for the whole family. So whether it's around the pool or patio, you'll have the space and privacy to reconnect with the people you love. Download the Vrbo app. The time for getting back together is now.
Unexpected trouble? CashNet USA can take the stress out of borrowing emergency funds. Our fast, secure application process makes it easy to apply online 24/7. Plus, CashNet USA offers same-day funding if approved before 10:30 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Additional terms may apply. Visit CashNetUSA.com or tap the banner to apply today.